Well, retirement is a pretty special time of our lives. I know I'm thoroughly enjoying mine, but sometimes there's a few decisions that come with it. This one's called Change of Address Can Alter Seniors' Identity. Where you live and how you live can change you as a person. As the University of Southern Queensland's Dr. Rachel Wallace explains, it can be a wonderful and liberating thing. Did you ever think that moving house in retirement could change your identity? It's true for all ages, but particularly for us seniors choosing to retire overseas, maybe the seaside, or a rural idyllic spot. You might want to go from the farm to the town or the city, be near the family, downsize, or just move to a nursing home. Dr. Rachel Wallace from the University of Queensland's Institute for Resilient Regions says our identities are created and evolve in places. We can move to a new house, particularly if it's a big move, to a new area. We then become a newcomer. This influences how we are perceived by others and how we perceive them. We lose our comfort zone, our local neighbourhood. We lose roads, shops, healthcare that we're familiar with. We don't know people, we don't know the faces. Perhaps even behaviours and attitudes that we can expect. If you no longer work and have children at school, it can be more difficult to make social connections. Dr. Wallace's research has shown that people who become actively involved in their new community, either through social or sporting clubs and charities or volunteering, are thereby getting to know people and making new friends, have much happier and more successful moves and retirements. Being open to changing your own ways and attitudes is also very important, particularly if you move to a country with a different culture. She says, people adapt most easily are those who get themselves involved in the community. They find the people that they can talk to easily. He says, it's a moment to be satisfied and happy in yourself in order to make inroads and making a new life. Being realistic about the things that you can and cannot control is very important. For instance, moving solely to be near your family, who already have their own full life, can be a mistake. You might expect them to change for you and be settling yourself up for failure when they don't. You need to clearly establish guidelines so that everyone's expectations are clear from the start. Dr. Wallace goes on, says it's also very important not to underestimate how much our ideas are influenced by the media. It happens in all forms when making our decisions, and the fact check as much as possible. People are reported to being influenced towards the sea or the tree by television programs as far back as 1970. British programs like The Good Life, then there was A Country Practice, Sea Change, River Cottage, as well as influenced by the movies, books, poetry, even art. Unlike other moves, which are generally seen as positive, providing newfound freedom, job options, or a chance to have a family for seniors forced to downsize, or move into a nursing home due to ill health concerns, moving is often associated with negative emotions. There can be fear, loss of independence. Dr. Wallace says the important thing is that it's the person's decision. Taking a proactive approach is again the key to success, she advises. Look at downsizing or accepting home care help, for instance. This can be a means of maintaining your independence. Also, accept having lived long enough to reach this age to need the help is also a positive. Well, a couple of good things here about moving, particularly in retirement. They're saying don't necessarily move towards your family and expect them to look after you because they've probably got their own life. And then, of course, when you move, you don't have the familiar surroundings. So, if you want to move, particularly in retirement, three things. Check it out first. Do your research. Secondly, check your emotions as to why you're moving. And third, don't be afraid to ask for help, whether it either be with care or advice. Good luck. This is Optimal Life on the RPH Network. Well, we just looked at the possibility of moving later in life. How about a career change? This one looks at the possibility of modelling. Now, we did touch on this a few weeks ago, but this is a slightly different slant. It is called the grey wave. Ask Lynn Stanton whether she ever imagined, when she was young, that she'd be a model at the age of 60. She immediately breaks into a wide smile. "It never even faintly crossed my mind," she marvels. At 65, mother of four and grandmother of one, she says, "I think I saw modelling as a bit of a shallow career then. Now I see how it can really help older women, and men too, makes us become visible." It's sparkling autumn morning and shafts of light stream through the skylights and windows of the Stanton stylish inner city apartment. Lynn flicks through her portfolio. Major photo shoots to date include work for Optus, Lendlease, Big W, Getty Images, and most recently a winter fashion spread for the Australian Women's Weekly. She said, "I love doing shoots. It's playing for the dress-ups. But when they put the music on, that's a real burst of energy. The artistic team, the makeup, the stylists, and the photographers. They never make me feel like an old person." Stanton has always been a self-starter. After going through a divorce in her early 40s, she retrained as a graphic designer for the New South Wales Department of Education. That followed nearly 20 years as a primary school teacher, full-time mum, and part-time flute teacher. She said, "I really needed a change." Stanton retired when she was 60. After Stanton picked up additional income working as a TV extra for shows such as Rake, a friend suggested that she emailed a selection of self-portraits to the modelling agency. It's called Silver Fox Management. She said, "I wasn't confident that when I turned up for an interview, there was three other beautiful women sitting in the waiting room. They had long blonde hair, expensive jewellery and handbags. So I was thrilled when it was taken up." The Silver Fox trend is having a moment on the runways with the likes of Maya Musk, a 71-year-old mother of billionaire Elon Musk. There's 57-year-old Brit Nicola Griffin and legendary 72-year-old European model Jan de Villeneuve. "The question of retirement? Forget it," she said. "This is one of the best periods of my life," enthuses Stanton. Her other passion is art. Her street scenes have been exhibited in local galleries. "And my kids love it," she said. "They post some of my photos on Instagram. They call me their supermodel mum." Well, there you are. If you're interested in becoming a model, I suppose you could go to any agency, but the Silver Fox Management, they're the ones that she contacted. The other one, a friend of mine did this, and what they said, they did watch things like, well, they mentioned the Country Practice and shows like that, but nowadays you could watch Neighbours, etc. In the credits at the end of the show, it always says who the management agency is. So, like to do it? Think about it. You too could end up a super mum or dad. Here with the RPH Network, Lynn Perrott and Dave Jeffrey with you today. Hello, this is Dave Jeffrey welcoming you to Optimal Life on the RPH Network. In the studio with me today is our regular reader, Lynn Perrott. Hi, Lynn.
Hello, Dave.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Now, you're a Novocastrian. How's it going up there?
Oh, not too bad. I'm actually practicing for a concert next week at our local church, Adamstown Uniting Church. There are going to be three choirs, and it's all in aid of people at, I think, the island of Tuvalu in the South Pacific. It's flooded or partly in need of assistance. So
good on you.
We're trying to help a few people.
Like a fundraiser or...
Yes, that's right.
Oh, that is excellent. Well done for your good work there.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to hear from you right now.
This is a short article called Justices of Peace Join the 50 Club, and is from the November Seniors Magazine of 2019. More than 130 Justices of the Peace were acknowledged for their 50 years of service at a ceremony at Parliament House last month. Attorney General Mark Speakman said those who attended were among 260 people across the state who had received certificates for 50 years' service. Between them, they have clocked up 13,000 years of service as JPs, helping people at pivotal points in their lives, such as buying and selling property, applying for a passport, or accessing superannuation, he said. Our JP's primary function is to serve as an independent witness for people making statutory declarations or affidavits, and to certify copies of original documents. More than 2,300 JPs have achieved the milestone since commemorative certificates were introduced in 2012. Improvements to the online register of JPs make finding assistance quicker and easier. New features include information on availability of JPs and which languages they speak. To find a JP, visit jp.newsouthwales.gov.au. And also, I must mention, Dave, that there is a photo of a 102-year-old Alf Carpenter, who I have met a number of times at RSL functions, and he actually did the Ode of Remembrance at my father's funeral.
Oh, very, very nice. Yes, I saw the photo there. He looks a lovely old gentleman.
Yes, he's very friendly and capable.
Good, and I'm sure it's some very nice memories for you too, albeit at your dad's funeral.
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, excellent. Thank you. You're with Optimal Life on the RPH Network. Now, Lynn, it's back to you, and often we read articles about ladies. We reckon now you've got something for us older fellas now.
Yes, that's right, Dave. It's called Well Worth Its Weight. It's a recharge for men's health program by Damon Cronshaw. Now, at his heaviest, Newcastle's Jim Toadhunter weighed 116 kilograms. I dropped down to 102 kilograms, but I just couldn't get below 100, Mr. Toadhunter said. I thought, there's got to be a way to do this. A year earlier, he'd been compelled to change his lifestyle. He had pancreatitis and his gallbladder removed. A doctor advised him to cut back on drinking alcohol. I was having a few beers every day after I finished work, he said. I didn't think I drank too much. Wanting to lose more weight, he heard about the University of Newcastle Shed It program, which helps men lose weight without giving up what they love. Mr. Toadhunter had lost a lot of weight, but the program helped him realise he was eating too much. There's a very simple equation. Kilojoules in must be less than kilojoules out. It's as simple as that. It's all about keeping yourself within a reasonable limit of what you eat compared to the exercise you'll do for the day, he said. I got into walking every day. I said, yeah, I can do this. With the program's help, he's kept his weight at about 88 to 89 kilograms for 7 years. I must say, I've never felt better. Nowadays, he doesn't eat as much food. If I have a steak now, it's only the size of the palm of my hand, he said. I eat a lot of veggies, salad and fruit. I have full cream milk and love cheese. I still have a beer, but only one standard beer a day, on average. A lot of days I don't have a beer at all. He sticks to dark chocolate with 70% cocoa. It has plenty of antioxidants, and it is good for you. University of Newcastle researcher Miles Young said a new program was about to start called Shed It, Recharge. It's based on the original program, but we noticed last time that about 1 in 5 guys in the study had these low mood symptoms at a concerning level, Dr. Young said. About 1 in 2 had some symptoms like frustration, crankiness, tiredness, stress, general feelings of being down. The original program had given participants meaningful improvements in those symptoms. So the program has been expanded to provide mental as well as physical health advice. We thought this time around we'd do an adaptive version of the program that targets physical and mental health, he said. It builds in some of the strategies from the psychology world about mental fitness, feeling well, and thought patterns. Researchers from the university's psychology school added their knowledge to the program. The program targets physical health with a secondary approach on how to manage mood and reduce stress. The entire program is accessed online. The mental side will use the cognitive behavioral therapy technique. It's a hands-on, action-orientated approach. We thought that would resonate well with men because it gives them something they can do, he said. A lot of it is around recognizing negative thought patterns and the concept of mindfulness. He said mindfulness may sound a bit new agey, but it was about being aware of your thoughts and the impact they're having on your emotions. If you're tending towards negative thought patterns, there are things you can do to get on top of that, he said. Some men are reluctant to attempt weight loss. Australian culture plays a role in this. Bigger can be better when it comes to traditional masculinity. Also, weight loss can be associated with dieting and a more feminine world. He said men don't necessarily want to eat rabbit food or give up beer. Another factor is that existing programs to help lose weight haven't been targeted towards men. Most programs are predominantly for female participants. Few programs were designed for men. The Shed It program has been running at the university for about a decade. We've had hundreds of men do that program with improvements in exercise, diet and quality of life while reducing risky alcohol consumption. The $300,000 program is funded by the Heart Foundation and Hunter Medical Research Institute. The need for the program is clear from the latest data, which shows 75% of men are overweight or obese. Less than 20% of men get enough physical activity, and less than 5% are eating enough fruit and vegetables. We live in a world in which it's difficult to be healthy. There are a lot of misconceptions about how to be healthy and lose weight. Our program tries to give men the knowledge, skills, and motivation to make some simple changes to improve their physical and mental health. The program does not direct men to do a particular exercise program. It's more trying to build physical activity back into your day, he said. Health guidelines state that people should get 150 minutes of exercise a week. We recommend that people try to increase at a level they're comfortable with. It might be measuring your steps and trying to increase by 10% a week. The program encourages incidental physical activity. This may include things like getting off the bus stop early to do some walking and walking upstairs instead of taking the lift. It also supports some planned exercise where you get your huff and puff, the more moderate to vigorous level. We don't have a prescribed exercise regime. We try to give men options and let them choose what works for them. The program was due to start at the end of August, and recruitment was opened for men aged 18 to 70. And that was the article concerning a men's program for losing weight from the Newcastle Herald of August 2019.
Well, then I think that was most valuable and interesting article. And a couple of things I picked up there. He said dark chocolate was good.
Yes.
But negative thought patterns. And he mentioned sort of a lot of people think they can't lose weight or it's not for me.
Yes.
It sounds, well, not simple, but it's the University of Newcastle, is it?
Yes, that's correct. And now it's their recharge program. So
yes.
It's the second in their study.
Yes.
And they think this will have a even better effect.
Oh, look, that's it. So anybody interested, and it says for men, but I don't think they'd mind, University of Newcastle, just give them
yes.
a buzz.
Well, also there is the website tinyurl.com/recharge-study, or they could phone the University of Newcastle on 4921 2067.
Look, that's most important. We'll come back in a second and say that again. Okay, we'll just read those numbers and that website out again, if you would there, please, Lynn.
The website is tinyurl.com/recharge-study. and the phone number 4921 2067.
If you're trying to lose weight, good luck. And Lynn, thank you.
The next article is entitled Grey Health Matters. Manage Your Cholesterol to Decrease Your Risk of Developing Dementia by Joanna Leggett. Most of us realise that healthy cholesterol is vital for our well-being, but researchers have also uncovered the crucial role it plays in warding off dementia. Melbourne neurologist Professor Cassandra Sowick is at the forefront of research investigating the link between vascular risk factors, high blood pressure, high cholesterol and diabetes, and the kind of brain degeneration that can cause dementia in women. Dementia is now the leading cause of death of women in Australia, Cassandra says. When you ask women what they're worried about dying of, they will tell you breast cancer. Not to undermine the seriousness of breast cancer, of course, but people don't realise how your lifetime risk of getting breast cancer is actually half your risk of getting dementia as a woman. Two recent pieces of research from the University of Melbourne's 20-year study, the Women's Healthy Ageing Project, have unearthed what makes some women more likely to develop dementia than others. Researchers studied women's brain volumes and found that women with higher vascular risk at 55 had fewer brain cells or grey matter at 65. And fewer brain cells, researchers discovered, resulted in reduced cognitive function 10 years later. We also looked at white matter hyperintensity, or white matter damage on the brain, and found that people with unhealthy levels of cholesterol had this damage. These are people who were still 100% healthy and showing no signs of dementia yet. So what you do today determines what we see in the scan in 10 years' time. Thankfully, there is still plenty you can do to look after your vascular health and keep the grey matter firing. Heart Foundation clinical manager Sia Connell says people should aim for the highest possible level of healthy cholesterol, known as high-density lipoprotein, HDL cholesterol, and as low levels as possible of bad cholesterol, also known as low-density lipoprotein, LDL, which blocks the arteries. Healthy eating, so lots of fruit, vegetables and whole foods, helps maintain cholesterol levels, which should be paired with exercise, Sia says. We recommend 30 to 45 minutes of moderate exercise or a brisk walk 5 or more days a week, and for people to limit alcohol intake and not to smoke. Sia also recommends people over 45, 35 for Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander peoples, who have not had a heart attack or stroke, should have their cholesterol checked as part of a broader health heart check. A heart health check will assess your cholesterol health, blood pressure and family history, among other things, so it gives you a complete picture, she says. Cassandra points out that even those who have lived fairly sedentary lives on junk food diets can still do plenty to reduce their risk. You can definitely make changes, she says. It doesn't matter what age you are, make changes today and keep going. It's never too late, but the longer you leave it, the more catch-up you have to do. If you aren't sure where to start, begin with walking. The number one thing we should do is move more, Cassandra says. Even if it's just walking the dog every day, 30 years down the track, your brain will thank you. And this story concerns managing cholesterol to guard against dementia from the Flourish Autumn magazine of 2019.
Well, Lynn, thank you very, very much for that. That's about all we've got time for in our program today. Very nice to see you again. And thanks for those interesting articles, How to Lose Weight and Keep Your Cholesterol Down, most important.
Thank you, Dave. It's a pleasure to read.
And look forward to hearing from you very soon.
Thank you, Dave.
Bye now. You've been listening to Optimal Life on the RPH Network. Look forward to your company again soon.